Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. More businesses want to use recycled plastic or paper when they create their own products. And Camilo, an innovative California company, just made that a bit easier. Camilo tracks and verifies that plastic and other waste material is truly recycled. It also gives companies real-time metrics on the environmental benefits that come from using recovered materials. In turn, that gives both consumers and businesses assurance that their efforts to reduce their plastic footprint is effective. Bill Roberson, Camilo's president, is a nationally recognized expert in plastics pollution research and says location technology is at the heart of this certification process.
Modern supply chain mapping only became possible with the rise of this technology. And that allows us to map every factory and every site, every distribution center, and we track it through the process at every step.
Roberson describes to Esri's John Lenihan how Camilo's innovative approach offers businesses a transparent way to verify their commitment to sustainability.
Welcome, Bill, to Esri and the Science Aware podcast.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Bill, last I heard, 8% of plastic waste is recycled. That seems really low to me, and I've kind of found it hard to believe, but obviously it's got to be close to true. So why do you think that is?
Well, it's actually correct from the best data they've got out there. The number is shockingly low, especially when you consider that the world produces around 460 million metric tons of plastic each year. And that production is projected to more than double to a billion metric tons a year by 2040. But what about the remainder of the plastic that ends up in landfills? Can we say approximately 50%? Or that's incinerated, maybe 20%, and the rest perhaps ends up in the environment. So it's a challenge. Also remember, too, that it's estimated that approximately 40% of homes in the United States do not have curbside recycling. So you add in the gaps in reporting and data inconsistencies and the fact that even private recycling companies don't necessarily report any data. So like, for instance, some of them have these corporate take-back programs for their end-of-life products. So that real number may be a bit higher. But I want to point out the elephant in the room on this issue of recycling. And that is that the cost of virgin plastic is less than the cost for recycled plastic. And why is that? Well, virgin plastic is basically subsidized. You know, the fossil fuel industry in many countries benefits from subsidies. But since plastic is mostly derived from oil and natural gas, these subsidies indirectly support the low cost of virgin plastic.
And Bill, is it fair to say that the creation of plastic is also energy intensive?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, it's energy intensive. And that's one of the reasons recycled plastic is such an important component of addressing climate change. EPA did what's known as a life cycle assessment of a number of different polymers, and they were able to show in no uncertain terms that the use of recycled plastic compared to using virgin plastic is a savings of 2/3 to 3/4 of the carbon it takes to create that virgin plastic. So the use of recycled plastic is a really net gain environmentally for climate.
Maybe you could talk at a high level about the current process of recycling, you know, walking us through plastic going into the recycling bin to ending up as a recycled product. What does that look like at a kind of a 30,000 foot view?
The current recycling processes for plastics involves several steps, starting when you place your plastic waste into the recycling bin. And many people have single stream system where everything goes into one bin, plastic, cardboard, aluminum, steel, glass, all go into one bin. Some people have multi-stream, but single stream is more common, and how it's initially collected makes a big difference. So you can imagine multi-stream, you know, to what goes in which bin, and oftentimes not everything goes in the right bin, and that makes it tough, but you really end up with a better recyclable raw material by multi-stream. But single stream is really the most common one in the United States. And while this approach makes it easier for residents to recycle, and also it minimizes trips for the hauler, they only have to bring back, you know, one bin full of everything, or, you know, dumped into their truck rather than number of trips. It also introduces significant challenges at the next stage, which is sorting. But the problem with single stream, one of the problems with it is cardboard, as an example, really needs to be dry if it's going to be recycled. You have liquids in bottles that, you know, haven't poured out their soda or whatever, it hits the cardboard. And next thing you know, that cardboard, and this is a general recycling description here, cardboard is no longer useful. If you get broken glass mixed in with plastics, that'll destroy the whole batch of plastics and make it unusable. So of all the recyclable materials, only about 20% of recyclable material, you know, plastic and cardboard and everything else in the United States actually makes it through the full recycling process, which leaves approximately 80% of residential recyclables unusable due to contamination or incorrect recycling practices. And I want to point out that those two statistics come from a 2024 report by a group called the Recycling Partnership. So the fact that only a portion of what is collected for recycling successfully gets recycled contributes to the low overall recycling rate.
At Camilo, you've come up with a trust mark to verify that plastic is recycled. And that's really what I'm excited to talk to you about. So when I think of a product and verification standards, you know, first thing that comes to mind for me is the FSC, the Forest Stewardship Council logo on paper products, or the little frog for the Rainforest Alliance, assuring that these products come from verified sources. Since plastic is a manufactured material, we can't say necessarily it's from a sustainable source. So what does the trust mark tell us?
The simple answer is that the Camilo Turtle trust mark placed on a product tells you the precise tracked and verified percentage of its recycled material content. Camilo tracks materials from start to finish in a supply chain using a GIS, meaning a geographic information system technology. I want to point out that modern supply chain mapping really only began with the advent of online maps and Web 2.0, so that this accurate supply chain mapping only became possible with the rise of this technology. And online supply chain mapping has a number of key advantages. Teams can work together from all the companies in a supply chain to account for every material, every process, and every shipment. And noting that we use GPS on mobile devices and also satellite imagery. So satellites become a part of this S3GIS technology. And that allows us to map every factory and every site, every distribution center. And that makes it possible to know exactly who mapped each piece of that supply chain and when and where they did it. And then we also, with that, with the metadata, we can communicate directly with anyone in a company and verify that information from afar. And it doesn't stop there. Because we have this full continuous real-time tracking of a supply chain, you know, from A to B, we can calculate scope 3 emissions, which are a very important component of a corporate carbon footprint. And so we can calculate that with very good accuracy and then also provide life cycle analytics. So in summary, the Turtle Trust Mark really does set a new standard for accountability and recycling. And we believe it's something that consumers should demand if they want real change.
For me to kind of summarize that back, you've looked at the entire supply chain with an emphasis on recycling of plastic and materials, and you've essentially embedded geospatial workflow and triggers at each stage of the process and each transaction that happens along the chain. Is that a way to summarize it as well?
Well, yes, a very good summary. And also noting that using geospatial technology allows us to overlay various data sets. So we can layer that with transportation routes and facility locations and carbon emissions all in one unified system, what we call at Camilo, a real-time digital twin of our clients' supply chains. Think of a digital twin as if you have physical events, for instance, chain of custody when something's moving through a supply chain, because we're digitizing that real time in the moment, you no longer have to have paper audits to show what your company has done. But with Camilo and with our technology, you just push a button at the end of the year and you get a 100% record, a verified record, of exactly your material flow, your inventories, et cetera. And then really importantly, it's this level of detail in technology not only helps us to verify the authenticity of recycled content, but it also identifies inefficiencies and opportunities for improvement in the recycling process.
Are there specific challenges to the application of geospatial technology to the tracking of recycled plastic?
It often depends on the company, but a company needs to be digitally oriented, number one. And you need to have entities who are willing to bring all of their recycling partners into the process at the same time. Coming down from the top and said, look, guys, we want this. Well, we know that, that's one, it's good for business. It's great for marketing. It's great when people know we're telling the truth. But we need to make a commitment to it at all levels. And then again, once people start getting the data, another challenge is sometimes they're not ready for it, And the beauty is we try to explain to them from the get-go that, you may see things that you didn't know were going on. And, we're here to help you understand it and interpret what that means.
A lot of us think of containers and plastic bottles that you mentioned as well when we think of plastic waste. But I know plastics being used more widely than that. Can you give us some examples that are heavy kind of plastic consumption?
Plastic is absolutely everywhere. And its applications really go far beyond what some people might imagine. It's life-saving applications like medical devices. Plastics are really critical in making medical equipment and devices like syringes and IV bags and blood storage containers, insulin pumps. I mean, the list goes on. These are tools that help keep people alive. And before plastic, my understanding, which isn't that deep about medical stuff, but I remember hearing that it was very challenging to safely store blood for transfusions before plastic. And even treating diseases like type 1 diabetes was very, very challenging without some of these plastic tools. So plastic has really revolutionized healthcare, and it quite literally probably saves lives every day. But then take food preservation. And this is another thing around the world. And one of the reasons why there's such a challenge with plastic packaging around the world is it really plays a really vital role in keeping food fresh and reducing waste everywhere on the planet. And so, packaging being ending up in the environment is one of our really, really, really huge issues. But without plastic packaging, many perishable foods would spoil much faster, leading to more food waste.
Yeah, so no future vision of us moving away from plastic anytime soon with kind of the prevalence of it across product areas. It's amazing. Is there anyone doing it right? Are there any countries that are really stepping up and leading alongside industry?
Well, absolutely. The European Union, I would say, is at least 10 years or more ahead of the United States. And they have regulations and policies that promote accountability and traceability in the recycling process. And even some that encourage the use of recycled materials and establish frameworks for ensuring that waste is properly processed and recycled. John, are you familiar with the term greenwashing?
Yeah, I certainly am.
Well, greenwashing, as you know, is sometimes an exaggeration of people's environmental stewardship, I guess. But at Camilo, we ensure that greenwashing does not happen by using as advanced tracking methods. And I want to share with you that, again, thanks to the technology we use with you, we place electronic geographic fences around any facility or any site on the planet. And it's a virtual fence, but what that does is when people take our app with ESRI technology on it to go gather information, they have to be inside that virtual electronic geographic fence. And so once they enter it, they can now use our app, and immediately the location and the time are stamped inside of the data. And then they can gather material types, material weights, shipping documents, material and shipping photographs, GPS units and Bluetooth low energy transponders and QR codes. But we use this to gather everything, including processing and manufacturing data. Now, going back to recycling, this really would begin at the recovery or the generation stage of that waste plastic. And we track it through the recycled plastics process at every step.
Bill. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to Bill Robertson. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.